This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, we've survived snow. We've survived ice, thunderstorms, rainstorms.
You've survived.
I mean, we haven't had a dust storm yet, so we're in fine shape.
Oh, see, now you should know every time you say something like that, it's bound to happen because you said it.
I know. Can you imagine if we had a dadgum dust storm this time of year?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, if that happens, we know that it's your fault. Everybody in... is going to know that you made it happen.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, geez.
Well, before I forget, my little grandson, you know, the one that's six, that's taken up basketball, he was named Most Valuable Player yesterday.
Really?
And he's 6 years old.
Wow.
Most Valuable Player. It's every week they name somebody. And he was named... this week's Most Valuable Player. He did a long shot last night and made the goal, and they made one other one. And so they were impressed.
Well, that's fantastic.
You know,
congratulations.
These kids are only 6 and 7.
Yeah. Jeez. He's on his way to be the next.
Good shots.
He'll be the next LeBron James.
There you go.
Well, that's fantastic. Wow, that's awesome. That's really,
and
really
cool. And he didn't
cool.
really understand what that meant.
Oh.
He loves basketball, and he loves soccer. He is a sports enthusiast.
Wow. Cool. What's his favorite?
I think, really, soccer is probably his favorite.
Mm.
But, yeah, I think so. And he's fixing to start soccer. Basketball's almost over. I've been able to go to three or four of his home games. And I love watching these little kids play. Now, y'all think college and professional football is great. You haven't seen anything until you see these little six-year-olds play. Oh, my gosh. It's hilarious. And the funny thing is one of the coaches has little twin girls, and he wants them to be athletic, right? He puts them out there, and these little girls just look around like, what are we doing here? What do we do? Oh, it's funny. But he wants them on the team with the boys. He wants those girls out there.
Mm.
And they'll be going down the court holding hands, and we're just laughing. These little girls, they just don't get it.
They're not quite sure what's going on.
No, they, I don't think they get all this basketball stuff. And I've never seen either one of them dribble. So I'm not sure how good they are at that.
Oh, boy.
But they're cute. They're cute.
At least it's entertaining. That's what really counts.
That's what I mean. It is entertaining. And but the boys are pretty good. Most of them are really pretty good.
That's awesome. That is fantastic. It sounds like he likes some kind of a sport, at least one, if not two, in every single season. Because, you know, basketball and then football and soccer. And then so it sounds like, so he's into year-round sports, right, is what it sounds like.
He is a sports enthusiast. He's an outdoor boy.
Good.
He has to be outside every day. He's one of these kids that is either out there on the soccer field at the house, or basketball court, shooting hoops. I mean, he's outside all the time doing something.
Good. He's active.
He's very active.
That's fantastic. It's probably too early, but do you think he has like any interest in sports as a career, or is it just like a hobby?
I think it's a hobby, but it's he is into it full time.
So I there's mean, potential.
You know, there's a lot of potential the way he looks at it.
Wow. Is he competitive or is he just out there having a good time?
He's competitive.
Wow. Cool.
And he's a good guard. They've taught him to guard the other team, and he'll get someone. He really stays with him, keeps him from getting the ball.
Well, that's fantastic. That is really great. Wow.
I mean, it's shocking what all they're teaching the little kids to do.
Jeez. You're right. You know, when you're that young, it's kind of like you're just kind of like silly putty out there on the court. But
that's right.
It sounds like he's really fantastic. He's really actually good.
I think he's pretty good, and the other little boys are pretty good, and they've got a long way to go, but they're having fun. Watching them play is great. So you know, I'm enjoying it, and I know the other families are enjoying it, so it's a great deal to do on Saturday morning.
That sounds fantastic. Then that's entertaining, especially when you have something that they're interested in. And it's one thing, you know, to play sports and you don't really want to, or if somebody makes you take like music lessons, like guitar lessons, you don't really want to, or you have to go to camp, you don't really want to. But when they're really into it and they're really excited and they're really passionate about it, it's great for everybody. It's entertaining. It's fun. And you know, they're building those skills and they're learning responsibility and teamwork and things like that. So all the things that go with it, it's really, really spectacular. That's really, really great, especially for that young too. Wow.
Yeah, and I think it teaches them a lot of things. You know, sportsmanship, getting along with other boys, being a team player.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, that's really fantastic, and congratulations on the award too. That's really cool.
Yeah, I was proud of him.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's talk money.
Let's do it. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So how is the money? And, what's the big news?
Well, the big news is everybody got the Pincus. It was two Pincus deals that came in this week, $1 million apiece. So now we've got $4 million in on Pincus. We've got $1 million policy to go. So that came in. Seems like there was another one came in. We're still waiting for McConnell to come in. That's $4 million. So everybody's got money that will be in on Monday on the Pincus policies.
So a lot of influx of cash right now.
That's right. And then we're going to have some influx out on policies that we're, you know, doing this next week.
Cool. Good deal.
We're waiting on contracts. I hope the contracts come in this next week.
So, okay, so what does that mean? Does that mean that you've bid, you've won the bid, and now you're waiting to
Yes, we've won some bids for like $2 million. $1 million policy, but we don't have the contracts.
Gotcha.
And we hope they stay with the deal that we get the contracts.
Yeah. It's always kind of a bummer when you've got, you know, big policies and then all of a sudden at the last second they take it back.
Like Mr. Chang. We've never heard from him since.
Really? Still not?
I think he went on his bucket list and just never came back.
Jeez.
Well, and he said he wanted to sell them. We worked hard. We put the money in escrow. Everybody was ready to go. We did it quickly to help him out, you know, $3 million, and he just disappeared on us.
And that's the one that was taking a tour of, like, Italy or something like that, and then he said, I promise, when we're done, we're going
to
do this. And then he came back, and it's like, okay, we're going to do this, and then he didn't do this.
That's right. He did not do it, folks.
Wow.
We hope these guys stick with it. We hope they don't go out and shop it again. You know, and they can do it. You never know.
Yeah.
They might go out and shop it even after we've sent out contracts. You never know.
Jeez. You think it might come back around? Not that you would even take it or even bid on it, but...
You know, I don't know. I've thought about it. You know, what would we do?
Hmm. That was an exceptionally good policy, wasn't it? Wasn't it huge?
It was an exceptionally good policy. 18 months, and he knew it. That's why he wanted to go do all the things on his list.
Is that the one? I know it ended up at 18, but didn't it start? Didn't the LE?
Yes, it was a lot longer.
Yeah.
And in the 6 weeks' time, the doctor changed their mind and brought it down to 18 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
In just 2 or 3 weeks, and that may be why he didn't sell it. Maybe he saw that he just didn't have long to live at all.
Yeah. That could be. It'd be nice if they told, though, instead of just leaving you hanging out there.
That's right. And he might have passed away. We don't know.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think of that.
Remember, we went through a broker on that. So we don't know a lot about his personal life.
Hmm. Are all the policies that you bid on, or most of them, done through brokers, or do you deal with people directly?
We've got one of these that we're bidding on now, we're direct with those. But a lot of times they have a broker, and the broker can get them so messed up it's ridiculous.
Really?
Yes.
What do they do? End up playing hardball for no reason?
Yes. Instead of the owner wanting more, it's always the broker.
Yeah.
You know, the broker's always in it for himself, and I don't know. He should pay a little more attention to the people he represents.
Yeah. It served the clients instead of himself.
That's what I'm thinking. Hmm. It would do well, and I think they'd do a lot more business if they were a little more honest.
Yeah. Do you, forgive me for pulling this out of the archives, but do you at some point, somewhat in the recent past, ended up, did you get a broker's license? What happened? Where you're able to...
In Texas, we are a broker.
Okay.
We're providers, what they call it. Yes, in Texas, we can buy direct. We don't have to have a broker. We don't have to have anybody between us and the owner of the policy.
Gotcha.
But it takes a special license for that. And a lot of these big companies that we do business with are licensed in every state. And can you imagine? It costs like $40,000 per license in each state.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. So you have to have a lot of money to do that.
Jeez, I didn't know it was that expensive. Wow.
It is, I can tell you. We've spent, I think, more than that on our license in Texas. And it's been 3 years since we bought that license.
Good Lord.
But that's what, in every state, most of these people have brokers. And they know the people that are trying to sell their policies. Now, our provider in Florida, which is one of the biggest providers in the United States, not only have they went public, but they've just started advertising, and they said they're getting 100 calls a day on people that want to sell their policy.
Really?
I mean, I didn't know. And they've added 10 people to their staff in the last week.
Jeez.
And they had like 40-something employees. So they've added 10 more to take care of this.
What does that do to, like, the competition? Like, when you're bidding on policies, what does that do? Are those, like, not what you deal with anyway? They're just people that want to sell their policy so they can travel and, you know, get in the RV and go around the country. Is it completely different, or does it affect you at all?
No, it won't affect us. The policies that he'll buy... their cancer policies, we'll get those.
Okay.
The ones that just want to sell their policy, that'll go to somebody else.
All right.
Well, a lot of people sell their policy even if they're not sick. They just don't get much for it. It's about 20 cents on the dollar.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
It's weird. It seems like the last, I don't know, month, maybe 6 weeks, it seems like I've seen like more commercials or a bigger push for, you know, a lot of these countries, companies, you know, trying to buy policies. I think Coventry is one of them. You know, it just seems like I see so many, you know, sell us your policy, or you've got all this money underground and you're sitting on all this big, huge, you know, money, and sell your policy. And it has nothing to do with what you're doing. It's, I assume that's completely different, but it just seems like there's a bigger push.
Coventry, will buy a cancer policy. They'll buy anything.
Yeah.
They're owned by a trust, a family trust, And they must be worth about $200 million because they can outbid anybody on the planet.
Wow.
But they don't pay anything for the policies. It's public record, and I'll go in every once in a while and look to see what they're paying. They're paying 27 cents on the dollar. It doesn't matter if you have cancer, if it's what kind of policy. That's about what they'll pay you. And here we are paying a huge amount, probably more than anybody in the industry.
Yeah. Well, also,
it's just everything's different.
The policies that you're buying are completely, I mean, they're I don't want to say they're separate, but you got a much more focused type of
That's
policy.
That's right.
That
we're focusing on just cancer because we want it to come due in the next 2 years at least.
Yeah.
Maybe 18 months. And the ones that just want to sell their policy, they're not even sick. So they're not going to pay them very much.
Yeah. Those
and
may
we're
not.
We're paying top dollar for people that have cancer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the goal is to buy people's policy. And you're not taking anybody's policy from them. It's just like they need to sell it. They want to sell it. They need somebody to sell it to. And that's where you come in. But it's like, you know, the policies that you're buying, you're looking for them to come in 18, 24, 30 months. Whereas, you know, the other types of policies that other people are buying, they're just out. They may come in 15, 20, 30 years. So it's completely,
that's right.
It's totally different. You won't make money that way. That's for sure.
And now there's a group, of course, in Spain and all these other European places. They want 10-year paper. They want a policy that's 10 years, 14 years.
Really?
The IRAs are different over there. Their IRAs are real far down the road. And they'll buy all these for their IRA or they'll, you know, whatever. Their retirement is different than ours.
Really?
So they'll put it in their retirement package.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a
difference.
Yeah,
and they will not buy short term over there.
How come? What's the difference? What do they?
They don't want it coming due. They don't want anybody to die soon. They don't want them to die for 10 or 15 years.
Huh.
I don't understand it, but that's the way it works.
It seems like such an odd question to ask. I feel weird asking it, but it's just you think if you're buying policies, I don't maybe it's just a whole different mindset, I guess. I'm not sure.
Their mindset is different than Americans.
Yeah.
Their goal is different.
Oh yeah, different goals. Yeah, that's I guess a good way to put it. Huh.
Yes.
So I guess when it comes down to it, when you look at all the different, you know, whether it's, you know, things over in Europe or, you know, different companies over here doing different things with policies, I guess it's fine. Everybody has their own goals and their own point. But your goal is to make money the safest way possible, the most conservative way possible, and still the fastest way possible. So is that a good way to put that, or am I framing it the wrong way?
I think so. It's got to be conservative. That's what we do. We want it to be as safe as possible, and we want it to come due in the shortest length possible.
Yeah.
So that's why we're studying new angles and new ways to do it all the time.
Hmm. How are the have you had to pull in? Because I know you've got some new, you just mentioned, you know, studying policies and things like that. Have new doctors and all that, the new staff, the new people that you've brought on board, the new partners to look at LEs and things like that, have you had to use them much lately? Or
yes, one of the companies is called Polaris that we're using. I love their LEs. And then we've got the other one that's a group of scientists. And I think these people are very well qualified to give the LEs. We still order all the medical behind it. I guess we're always going to do that just to see if there's something somebody's missed, to see what the doctor says. And one of these that we bid on, the doctor said, I'll give you 18 months. Well, holy cow, that's great. If you get a doctor to say it, instead of just lab work and, you know, how many times he's been hospitalized and what cancer treatment, you know, I want him to say that. I want him to tell us, what is your estimate on it?
Yeah.
So I like these two new LE companies very much.
Do you, I assume it's probably never going to change, probably never has, never will, but you still go through every single policy yourself, regardless of however many other people are looking at these. You have your own personal eyes on every policy, word for word, line by line.
And we were about to bid a policy this week. And I said, well, let me read everything, then I'll give you my opinion as how much we can give for it, what we want to do. And halfway through, it said, there is no sign of cancer.
Oh.
I go, wait a minute. They're telling me this is a short LE, 18 months, and there's no sign of cancer. There's something wrong with this report. And I read it all the way to the end, and it said, there's no sign of disease. What kind of a report is that?
Yeah. It's like, geez, how did you even end up with that one?
How did that happen?
Yeah.
And so we sent a message to this company and said, no, we're not going to buy your policy.
Wow.
Your client doesn't even have cancer.
That goes against the whole point.
That's right. I mean, why buy it? I mean, I'm not the only one that's going to read this. You know, when the clients read it, they're going to say, what is going on?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it makes us look like complete idiots.
Boy, if you'd have had that one on the table and offered that for investors, somebody would be calling you and Faye, I think you've gone off your rocker here.
And say, so you're off the rails completely.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they'd have said to me.
They'd have drove you out of town on that one. Jeez.
That's right. I'd had to left town.
Wow.
Took a long vacation. So anyway, you've got to read this stuff. You've got to be sure. And you've got to read all the medical and see what they're saying. You know, what's the deal?
So when you look at these, you read them all, but for people that want the executive summary version or the Cliff Notes version, is what's formerly we used to call page 14, is that still part of the package?
Yes, always. You've got to have that in there. It's not on page 14 anymore. I saw one this week. It was on page 36 and 38.
Ah.
But the same is, it tells you what the policy amount was, what the profit is, how much you invested. It tells you what the premium will be if it goes over. It gives you all that information, what kind of cancer it is, what the face amount, and what your investment is. So that's an important page.
So for those,
it will always be important.
Anyone who's never done this before and has been, because I know you have people that do this all the time. They've been listening to you for a long time, talking about, you know, okay, you're buying a life insurance policy. You're not in the stock market. Your principal is always protected. They hear all the great things about it, and they're not quite sure how the actual process works. When you get a policy, you go through it, you read the entire thing, and sometimes there's hundreds of pages. But then you've got the what you were referring to as formerly page 14, which has a much better ring, by the way, than page 36 or 38. But they've got that. And so when people go through, when you present the policy for people to potentially bid on, you're like, okay, here's this policy. Do you want in or do you want out? Can investors read the entire thing, or do they just go to the page 14 thing summary?
Well, when they get their contract, they can read the whole thing. But this is their contract. In other words, after they say, okay, I'm going to put $50,000 in, we're going to send out the contract, and it's going to be between Nevada Trust and them as trustee. And it tells you everything. This is what you've invested in. This is everything about it. And then on that one page, it tells how much the principal is, what your profit is. All that information is always going to be in the contract.
Is that, for the most part, is that all investors really care about? They kind of rely on you? Is like, this is a good policy?
Well, they've already made up their mind because we've sent out the life expectancy. They've read all about this person. They know who he is, what's wrong with him, what kind of cancer, what his chances are. And then they make up their mind from that. And once they make up their mind, we escrow the money till we close, and then they get a contract on that particular policy.
Okay.
And their percent is in there. It tells what percent they own of the entire policy.
So is it fair and accurate to say that most investors really just kind of care about the bullet points? What type of policy is this? What's the return? How long is it?
That's what they care about.
Okay.
What are we going to make? And how long is it going to take to make it? Okay.
They don't need to read hundreds of pages of documentation.
No, no.
They don't care. It's just, you know, just what's the bottom line here? That's really what it comes
down
to. All right. That's why you're there, to read all the
Yeah,
fine.
I'm there to read all that and see about all this and get it done.
You're the screener. You read all the fine print. Everybody else just gets...
That's right. I'm the screener. I'm going to screen that policy for everything, for content, for how long it's going to be, what the profit is, what the premiums will be if it goes over. They need to know all that when they buy it.
When you have new investors... and they've never done a life policy before. They've never done anything like this. They've always been in, say, the stock market or something else. They've never done a life settlement. When they first come over, how do they want – what kind of level of engagement are they in, usually speaking?
Well, first of all, if they're new, we don't usually let them put but $50,000 in any one policy because they are brand new. And we want to be as diversified as possible and have as many policies as possible. So if it's somebody with $100,000, we're going to be very, very careful of what we put them in. So we wouldn't let them put the whole $100,000 in any one policy. That'd be a no-no right there. So, you know, as you said, I'm screening for all this in advance to help them make a decision based on what I've sent.
So people should look at you as, say, the leader and a partner, not somebody who is trying to, because earlier we were talking about like the brokers and how they're not looking out for their clients, and you know they just want to get bigger percentages and you know all this.
Well,
and
I'm
that.
Sure there's some that really have the client's heart and mind, but there's some of them that are just a little fast, and they just keep wanting more and more money.
Yeah, your approach is not. It's completely different than that. You're not just saying, hey, get this policy because it's good because I said so. And then a lot of these policies, you're in yourself. It's like that's how confident you are. And so you have some stake in the game. You're always looking out for the investor first, not necessarily to, you know, as some of them do, because you hear these horror stories, and I'm sure you've probably got volumes of books of examples of, you know, people are trying to sell policies and they play hardball and we're going to negotiate for more. And then, yeah, all that messiness goes on. And it's really just it's not for the person who's trying to sell the policy to get them more. The broker is trying to get more profit for themselves. That is completely not even part of the equation for when you have policies for people. It's like, this is like...
No, I'm fighting all the time to get them more profit.
Yes, yes.
That's why we're bidding them hard, because my clients have got to make 1% a month. And if they can't do it, we won't buy the policy.
Yeah.
And we may sacrifice commissions, which we do a lot, in order to get the policy for them. But we're not ever asking them to sacrifice. They're there to make money.
Yes.
They're not there to do that. And I am. I mean, lots of times they'll say, we've got to have more on this policy. Well, there's only one way to take it. Take it out of mine.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to get it bought, that's what you got to do.
Yeah. It's always the client first, the investor first. And while we're on the topic, and this is going to be a very short answer, I know, but let's talk about fees. What are the fees for doing a life settlement?
Well, it's $250 a year for each account you've got.
And that's it.
That's it. I mean, it's just a small amount when you've got $1 million in your account, or $500,000. You know, it's not very much. I don't even know how they do it for $250.
Yeah, per year. That's a year. That's not.
That's it.
That's it
for the whole year, folks. And then remember this year, when we moved from Bank of Utah.
Yeah.
You know, in Utah, was charging $350, and they were charging us thousands. We paid $75,000 last year to Bank of Utah. Jeez. We don't pay those kind of fees over here. Nevada Trust doesn't charge that kind of money.
Mm.
And we like doing business with them better.
Yeah. And that whole migration, is that complete? Is it done, finished?
Yes, yeah, so we're through with that.
Okay. All right. What about the new system? I'm just putting you on the spot.
The new system is almost ready to go hard.
Okay, cool. Because I know you've been really excited about that for a while.
That's right. Well, it's going to make everything with the clients better and faster, a lot faster. And when we send out premium notices, that's going to be easy.
Yeah.
I'm saying this because I haven't seen it work yet.
Is it Cisco that you were?
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. Because I knew
No, it's Oracle.
Oracle. That's
it's
what
Oracle.
It is. I knew it was a really big deal, and I know you've been working on this for a long time.
It is a big company. And the other thing we're doing, we're moving out of 21st. You know, we've had that deal with them for a long time, and we're very, very unhappy with 21st, and we're moving everything to North Star on that.
Yeah. You know, it's really great that, you know, because a lot of people would just kind of like settle in and just kind of like just let the past track record speak for itself, you know, rest on your own laurels. But it's really fantastic because as we talk, you know, over, you know, you look at the big picture over the last several weeks, the last several months, even years, you start seeing, you know, the big picture, the needle moves quite consistently a lot on a regular basis. And I say that because you're always, you know, improving things. You're always, you know, going back, looking at the data to make sure that it's still accurate. The things that you thought before, are they still true? Do they still make the people the most money? You're bringing in doctors, you're bringing in scientists, you're improving systems. There's all these things, you know, that, you know, you're improving LEs, you know, you're doing all these things. You're not just kind of like setting it and forgetting it. You're always looking for ways to not only just improve the system, but create better experiences for investors and create opportunities for them to make more money. And that is fantastic. Is that on purpose or is that just kind of, or am I looking at it?
That's our purpose.
All right.
And North Star will be tracking all the policies. Hopefully with North Star, we won't have any policy that we don't know they've died for 3 months.
Oh, good.
North Star is a huge company. Our lawyers are the one that recommended North Star. They knew how much trouble we'd been having with 21st. We knew they were doing a sloppy job. They weren't getting the death certificate fast enough. And we're going to see what kind of job North Star does. He says they'll do a fantastic job. He highly recommended them. We've almost got everything transferred over to North Star for them to watch the policies and tell us when the death occurs and get it to us right away.
Which means ultimately,
so we're going to see
people get paid faster.
That's what I'm saying.
Cool.
They get paid a lot faster, hopefully, with North Star.
Nice. A lot of really big improvements, especially it seems like in the last, you know, 6, 8, 10 months or so. Really, really.
We hope so. We hope all these new systems work and that we know how to work them, right? Oh, my gosh. Everybody's been going to school for Oracle. It's taken a lot of schooling to learn all the system and how to do it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I know that there's been a lot of training, a lot of schooling, a lot of things like that. So it really is a big deal. It's not just, you know, switching something light and it's like, okay, well, fine, we'll just check this instead. There's a lot of things that are going on. So it's a really big, heavy lift. And it sounds like the end result for investors is going to be absolutely fantastic. So nice.
I think they're going to like it much better.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And you say it's almost ready to go.
It's almost ready to launch.
Cool. Awesome. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Valentine's Day. We got to talk about it.
Of course. It's coming up in a couple of days.
It is coming up in a couple of days. And we don't want anyone to forget their sweetheart. I mean, this is an important day. This is important for anybody that's married, let me tell you.
Yeah.
You forget Valentine's Day, go to the end of the class, let me tell you. I mean, this is a big day for a girl. So how many Valentine cards do you think will go out?
Oh, you're going to win on this one. I'm going to guess 5 million.
145 million cards.
Wow.
I mean, is that? I mean, that's pretty big, isn't it?
Wow. That was my next guess.
I would like some concession. Okay, how many boxes of the heart candy do you think will go out?
Oh, my goodness. Not nearly enough. I'm going to say, okay, based on cards, I'm going to go 75 million.
36 million boxes.
Jeez, I'm not even close with any of these. Golly.
I know, you're just out of touch.
Terrible.
Okay, how many roses will be sold?
50 million.
250 million.
Wow. Oh, my word. Man, we need to be in the
flower
business.
What do you think the total for Valentine's will be that will be spent?
Okay, so for all the cards, the flowers, the candies, the chocolates, all of it?
Everything.
Okay. I will say 175 million dollars.
$18 billion.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
I mean, it's so big, I just hated to tell you how much.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is as big as Christmas.
I was fixing to say, I think that's more than the holidays. Wow.
Yes, people love Valentine's Day. Every woman in the world loves it. The men love to give gifts. They love to give them candy. They love to give them watches, jewelry. It's showing your loved one how much you really love them. And if it's just flowers and candy, they'll take it. If it's a night on the town, if it's a weekend out of town, women love to be loved.
Yes.
You know, they want to be appreciated. They want the husband shaved, freshly done up and ready to go.
Bathed.
And you know what I was thinking? Every man should think about when he was dating these girls.
Oh.
Remember how you acted?
Yeah.
You always had a fresh shirt, fresh clothes, a beautiful shirt. You were shaving at the time. Your hair was done.
Yeah.
Men need to go back and think about that.
Men get a little bit sloppy over time, don't we?
That's what I'm saying. They get sloppy. They don't always shave. They don't put on that fresh shirt, fresh boots, fresh jeans, and show they really care.
Yeah, that's true. Have a little respect.
They've got to up their game a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt. We get way too lazy. Oh, Lord.
I think they do. And then women sometimes let themselves down just a little, and they don't make sure their hair is colored. Now, ladies, I hate to bring that up, but, you know, you want to look younger than all the other ladies.
Yeah.
And you want your husband to be as proud of you as the day he married you.
Yeah.
And when he was going with you, you know, you kept yourself up so good. But sometimes now they're slacking off a little bit. I don't want to tell too much, but I've seen it.
Yeah.
I know about it. And I see some ladies, their hair is perfect. It doesn't matter what age you are. That hair needs to be done every week. Your nails. Keep yourself up.
Yes.
Make him proud to be seen walking down the road with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a little pride in yourself.
That's what I'm saying. Have some pride in the way you dress, the way you look, and even if it's just going to church, look your very best.
Oh, yes, definitely. You have to do that. If you just kind of like, if you're just kind of like bumming around, then you're not really serious.
You're not. And the husband notices it. He just doesn't want to say anything. And if you come in there with curlers in your hair, You know, they don't want to see that in the mornings. They want to see this bright lady, you know, looking good, or makeup on. I know it's hard to say that at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
If they, at 8, you're getting dressed. But you need to keep yourself up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it works both ways. You've got to look good. Remember when you were dating, you wouldn't have let your boyfriend or your husband see you without your makeup on.
Oh, no. That was always.
No.
Or that green face thing that you put on there with the I don't
oh,
know what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, the mask. Okay, yeah.
That thing.
No, you would never do that.
No.
And just because you're older, you've been married a long time, don't get sloppy.
Yeah.
Make him proud to be seen with you every day. And again, the man needs to keep themselves up. There's no reason not to keep herself up.
No.
And anybody that won't color their hair and lets it just go gray, I mean, you're going to look older than all the other women.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No, you want to say, well, you know, his wife's younger than him, isn't she? You know, she's really looking nice.
Yeah. Of course, now we make it easy for people to think things because we let ourselves go, and you know, it's like, girl, what is she doing with that guy? She can do so much better.
And there you go. And if you don't clean up nice, they're not going to be proud of you. They may not say anything, but they, if you go out in the evening and you've got on what you wore to work that day, you're not being respectful, I don't think.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you take a shower, change clothes before you take your wife out.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's just to the movie theater.
Yeah.
Always look your best. I mean, that people will notice that, I can tell you.
A shave will go a long way.
A shave is a beautiful thing. And all these men that say, oh, weekends, I don't even want to shave. That's not a good idea. You're going to be around your wife all day. Shave and look good.
Yeah, try. Put in a little bit of effort, just something.
Put some work into this thing.
Yeah.
And then always make sure her car's cleaned out, that it's washed for the weekend. Do some little things that she'll really, really appreciate.
Yeah.
Women love a clean car.
It's the little things that matter.
It really is. Making the bed for her, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it just shows you care.
Yeah.
And that you're not getting sloppy.
You don't want to do that because it just sends the wrong message. And what you put out there is what you get back.
It does send the wrong message.
It does.
Now, let's talk about flowers.
Okay.
You can buy flowers anywhere, but I'm going to recommend 1-800-Flowers. They've got a lot of roses on sale right now, and they're gorgeous. You can order it, and they'll ship it to you overnight. And you still got time. And they make beautiful flower arrangements. I didn't even know they were on sale till I went to investigate. And I found lots of them. You can get a bouquet from them for $78.
Really? That's not bad at all.
Yeah. It's not bad at all. I saw a lot of them, $89, you know. And they had a lot of them said 20% off, 30% off.
Wow.
Yeah. And they have pink roses, which I don't really recommend. I think red roses are the call for at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. Or yellow. I always like yellow, although it doesn't go great with Valentine's Day, but still.
No, it doesn't. Skip that. Go do that another holiday. Don't
see,
do yellow.
See, this is why men don't come up with ideas.
I see why, because they make big mistakes. You give her yellow roses, she's going to be so mad.
I know.
This is Valentine's. It has to be red.
Pretend I said nothing.
Yeah, pretend like you didn't even know what you said. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But anyway, I would go to 800 Flowers. Now, remember, they also... on the wonderful strawberry company. And you can also order the strawberry covered candy.
Yes.
That's good. I love it. So Sherry's Berries is also owned by 1-800-Flowers.
Are they really?
We have an account with them. We do a lot of business with them. If anything's wrong, they make it right.
Wow.
This last year, We had two or three people call me. They knew me well enough to call me and say there was something wrong with the Cherry's berries. We called the corporate office. They made it right.
Did they really? That's fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, we've been doing business with them about 5 years.
Oh, wow.
And, yes, and they do a good job. They take our list. They send everything out and a guaranteed delivery, and they guarantee that it'll be fresh. And if it's not, they'll make it right.
Wow. I did. Yeah, I didn't know that they were owned by 1-800-Flowers. That's interesting.
Yes, Cherry's Berries is owned by 1-800-Flowers.
Huh, neat.
But both of them are great deals, and the candy that is in the heart is still the most popular.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that's what we did because that's what that was. 36 million boxes of heart candy.
Good Lord. I feel like I, when
so
it's all said and
done. I don't even know how much more. Well, it was not a heart, okay?
That's true. And then you got the ones that are like life-size. Have you seen those in the store? Those things are huge.
No.
Oh, yeah, they're probably 4 feet tall. And they're, it's a,
oh, Lord.
Yes. It's the box, and it's in the shape of the heart, and it's got all the candy in it. I mean, it's huge. I've never seen anything so big in all my life. It was great.
Well, you know, we talk about everything's bigger and better in Texas.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you and I think about the candy, the flowers, a nice gift, and we're not talking about a lot of money. Dallas, you know, is crazy. Everything has to be over the top. They've got a $13,000 night at the Boulay Hotel in Dallas for Valentine's Day. It's $13,000.
No, really?
Yes. Now, you think Dallas isn't over the top?
Wow.
The other things they're offering, a ride in a Lamborghini for 2 hours.
Oh.
Or a helicopter ride for Valentine's.
Oh, now that's
nice. And that's always nice. I've heard a lot of people have done this. And it takes you over the lights of downtown, along the lakes. It's just a beautiful moonlight ride.
Wow.
And that would be very romantic.
That sounds amazing. I've never thought of doing anything like that. That's really cool. That's a good idea. That's unique. I like it.
It is unique. But I can't even believe that. You know, $13,000.
Yeah, it does seem a little excessive, but still, it would be a really great. The only problem, and this is where my brain goes, if you were to get the $13,000 Valentine's package now, like this year, what are you going to do next year? Because you got to top that next year.
Yeah, how are you going to ever top that? Well, you know, I remember years ago, Neiman Marcus, you know, always had all these things. One year it was a pair of camels. Every year it was something very luxurious. So you had to keep buying from them where it would be even more luxurious every year. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And we would hear how many of them they had bought. Like they would say, okay, we sold three of the camel packages or the Rolls Royce package for Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, and they'd tell you how many of them they sold.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing to me. But the millionaire oilman, you know, it had to top each other every year.
It's always a competition.
It's a competition. You want to look good and you want to say, you know, I did it my way, you know, the biggest and the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Valentine's Day is a fun time. And the cards. Can you imagine that many cards going out for Valentine's?
I can't even imagine. And it gets so far off my radar, I don't even think about cards sometimes, just because, you know, you've got to go to the store, then you got to get the postage, and then you got to, to me, it's almost like I was thinking kind of, it was like cards were like newspapers. It's like, do people even send them anymore? But apparently they do in a
now,
big
Zach,
way.
Zach, let me tell you something. You don't go to the post office. You don't mail your card to your wife.
Well,
oh,
that's
my
true.
Gosh, you've got it all wrong. I mean, just give her the card. Don't mail it. You will not get any brownie points for mailing the card. Oh, my gosh. We got to get you educated. Oh, my Lord.
I think I pulled back the curtain on my
failures.
Yeah, you
mail that card. And you're going to go to the back of the class. She gets the thing late, and then she goes, what the heck?
I'm starting to realize what I've been doing wrong all these years.
Now we know. I didn't know what you were doing, but now I know. Please hand deliver it. Yeah. I mean, don't mail it to her.
You mail the card, you look like a bum.
I think so. It would take a person very out of this world to do that. I'm being nice.
Yeah, I know.
I could really say something, but I won't. I'll be nice.
You probably, when you tell the story later after we get done with the show, it's probably going to come out much different.
I think so. It will.
Oh, my word.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so now we learned something important. Do not mail the Valentine's card to your wife.
Do not mail the Valentine. If you do that, you're in deep trouble. But you've got to have flowers. You've got to have candy, unless there's something that she can't do candy. If not, get her something else. And a nice gift would be nice every year. You know, if a bracelet, a piece of jewelry, something that she's been looking at, and some of the new books that every woman's wanting to read. I've been seeing a lot of new books out that really look interesting if a person's got the time to read. But she just wants something that says, I love you, I'm thinking about you, and I remembered you today.
Yeah.
I did not forget.
Something special. Don't walk in with like a pack
something
of cigarettes.
Something special.
You know, say, here you go.
That's right. Make her feel really special.
Yeah.
You know? And the dinner deal needs to be a special deal. Don't take her to McDonald's, you know. Take her to a special place, you know.
Okay, so for one, don't take her on the date through the drive-thru, and don't mail the Valentine's card. Got it. Okay.
Don't mail the Valentine. Now that we know, do you think anybody else has done that?
Well, I want to say no, but, you know, it's very possible. There's a small group of us.
Wow. Those women are still laughing down at the beauty parlor.
They're probably divorced.
I'm thinking that it's coming up right away.
Oh,
I mean, you can only mess up one time.
Yeah.
The next time is unforgivable.
Oh, no. You got one chance.
But and I also recommend if the restaurants are all full, if the good places are full, order this wonderful meal, put candles on the table, do it at home alone without the children, and have a candlelight dinner right there for her. She would be impressed, I guarantee.
Wow, that's a great idea. How
neat.
Yes,
you have the fine china, the crystal glasses. And you take all this out of the packages and put it on the table without her knowing about it, and then bring her in there, and she'll just be so impressed that you were that romantic.
Yes, and if you're a terrible cook, you don't have to worry about, you know, serving something that's terrible. It's actually, like, good food, and that's a great idea. Mm-hmm.
My husband used to do that for me a lot. I would come home from the office, and I'd notice the house is very quiet, and it wasn't even a special occasion. And I'd go in there, and he had candles on the table.
Wow.
He'd cooked a steak, a baked potato, a salad. He'd done all this and set the table. It was beautiful, and we had a very romantic dinner. But he was a romantic. He was always buying me something, doing something, like on Saturdays. His gift to me was to go and buy groceries.
Really?
I never had to go to cleaners or buy groceries. He said, that's my deal. He said, you go take the day off and go to the beauty shop.
You see, now Valentine's Day is important, but those daily things, that they're just the small things that people do, I think those go a long way. A lot, they go a lot farther than what people probably give them credit for, because, you know, even still, look at the impact that it had on you. You know, it's like you still remember
those
things, and it's like, wow, that's really
great. Never forgot. And he always had a beautiful Western shirt on, Western pants, belt, and boots, and he had a lot of boots, and I was always impressed by that. He was a true Texan.
Yeah.
He had his Western hat on. He wore it every day, and you know, that's the way I think about Texans, you know, is they make a good impression on their wives as well as their friends.
Yeah. Wow, what a great example of a great Texan and a great, you know, doing just nice little things for someone special. That's those kinds of things go so underrated. That's really fantastic. Wow. So don't mess up Valentine's Day.
He always said his deal in life was just to make me happy. Mm-hmm. And if every man felt that way, what a world we'd have.
I know, right?
You know, if their goal was just to make the wife happy, wow. Mm. And it doesn't take a lot to make a wife happy, really.
No, it doesn't.
Like you said, it's the simple things. A beautiful dinner. If it can't cook, order it. I mean, she will tell her friends about it.
Yeah.
She'll say, you won't believe what he did for me.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't take something real expensive. It's the thought that counts.
Yeah. And, you know, just going to the grocery store for you. I mean, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. You don't have to carry them home. You don't have to go and shop. You get to go to the beauty shop.
Yeah, which is much more fun.
It's a lot more fun.
Unless it was the other way around. If you went to the grocery store and he went to the beauty shop, we might have a different conversation.
That's right. And, you know, men's barbershops have changed a lot.
They have.
They do more things for them now. They're more luxury. Unless you're going to, what is that? Quick cuts or something like that.
Oh yeah. You're in and out in no time.
They just throw you in and throw you out.
Yeah.
It's mostly for little kids.
That's true.
And it works. But anyway, this is, Lover's Weekend, I think, to me. Next week I'll see what the reports are from people.
Yeah.
If they call me and tell me what kind of Valentine's Day they had.
Yeah, and I'm sure people are going to take some of your suggestions because they're really fantastic. I mean, you always have great ideas at the holidays. It doesn't matter what the holiday is. So we should all be taking notes from you and definitely not from me.
That's right. I don't think we'll take your suggestions.
No. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
All right, real quick before we wrap up, with a life settlement, I know that it's important to go over the two major risks. So what is the first biggest risk with a life settlement?
The biggest risk is it could go over. So be prepared to pay the premiums. The premiums are not very high on most of them. We've got some old ones that are a little high. But that's your biggest risk. If it goes over, you will have to pay premiums. The second risk is it is not liquid till it matures. So during that time that we're holding it, it is not available to you until it matures.
Okay. And one does have to be accredited to do a life settlement. So
you must be accredited. Mm-hmm. You must make either $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your home.
Okay. That's any assets that you have, work, rental properties, anything.
Everything.
Like that. Okay.
Your ranch, your cattle, an IRA, a 401k, savings, checking, all kinds of things except the house.
Okay. All right. So for this coming week, I assume you've got some availability for people to come and talk to you. Yes?
That's right. We're going to be working hard. The storms are over. The snow is over. The ice. So, yes, every day will be a work day.
All righty. So for one last time, for people to call, make an appointment, come see you, come get started, what is your phone number?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.